Well, today we're going to continue our sermon series called AHA. We're using this as an acronym for the ideas of an awakening, honesty, and action. The word AHA is a palindrome. How many of you know what a palindrome is? It's where the word is spelled the same way frontwards or backwards. And there's a whole study of palindromes, and sometimes it's words, sometimes it's phrases. One that's really interesting you can look up goes like this: a man, a plan, a canal, Panama. And if you write it down and read it backwards, it reads the exact same way. It's fascinating. But AHA is a much shorter palindrome. And AHA stands for a point in time or an experience you have when you have a sudden insight, understanding, or realization. And we usually depict it with our finger in the air like, AHA! But AHA moments come when three elements come together. First, there is a sudden awakening. Second, brutal honesty. And third, immediate action. And so during this AHA series, we've been taking a really in-depth look at the parable of the prodigal son. And we learned in week one that the story begins in the father's house. We have a man who is kind of well-to-do, he's married, has a couple of sons, he's got an estate, and he's raised these young men up well, but there's something wrong with the younger son. He's not content to stay in his father's house, and he very arrogantly, brashly, and rudely demands his inheritance from his father, even before his father has died. And for some reason, the father in this story says, okay, and he divides the assets between his sons. He gives the younger son his half, and this younger son decides, now that I've got what I'm entitled to, I'm going to head someplace really special. And Jesus calls this the distant country. He wanted to go someplace, maybe where he hadn't been, where he heard the grass was greener and life was going to be better. But the best part about the distant country is nobody was going to be telling him what to do. He could make all of his own decisions. He could call the shots. He wanted to be the one in charge. And Jesus said in the story that he wasted his inheritance from his father on wild living. And then Murphy shows up. You know, the guy with the law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And it says that about the time his money ran out, a famine hit the land, and everybody was starving. And this fine young Jewish man was reduced to slopping pigs. And he was so hungry, Jesus said, he wanted to eat the food he was given to the pigs, but nobody would give him anything. And he was left in this dire state. And last week, we saw the first element of AHA. He had a sudden awakening. The way Jesus phrased it was this: when he finally came to his senses. Has that ever happened to you? You finally came to your senses and you had a sudden awakening. You realize where you were. You realize where you are. And you realize where you could be. And that's kind of where we left this young man last week in the story. He had this sudden awakening, but he didn't do anything about it yet. So I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 15. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 840. We'll be reading Luke 15, verses 17 to 19. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So please take me on as a hired servant.'" So this sudden awakening comes when he finally comes to his senses. It's the first ingredient to the AHA, the sudden awakening. He comes to his senses and realizes that things away from the father's house have not gone the way he planned. But he doesn't just soak in the feeling for a little while and then mope in his brokenness. The text says, when he finally came to his senses, he said. Wonder who he was talking to. He's in a field with a bunch of pigs. Well, they certainly didn't understand what he said, but since there's no one else around, it's probably safe to say that whatever he's about to say, he said to himself. That's often what happens when you have an aha moment. Have you ever done that? Just talk to yourself. Self? This was not a good deal. Now, it's one thing to wake up to the fact that things have gone wrong and that change needs to happen. Almost anyone can do that. But a lot of aha stories begin that way, but they never end well because that's where they stall out and nothing changes. It's when you get winded walking up the flight of stairs and you realize you're out of shape, but you don't step on the scale to see how bad it is. It's when you realize you hardly know your wife and kids anymore, but you kind of sweep it under the rug and say, well, it's all a part of being the provider. There's nothing I'm doing wrong. It's when you get caught, but you lie to get out of trouble. It's when you're broke and alone, and you blame everything and everyone around except yourself. This is where brutal honesty has to come in. And this is the second ingredient of aha. First of all, you have to be honest about your circumstances. This is kind of related to the sudden awakening we talked about last week, but it goes a step further. This young man just doesn't realize that he's in a bad place. He has to be brutally honest about the fact that he's in a pig pen. And he put himself there by the bad choices that he made. And when we find ourselves in the distant country, when we find ourselves in our own proverbial pig pen, it tends to be much easier for others to see it before we do. And the same is true the opposite way. It's easy to see when someone else wanders off into the distant country, though it can be hard for them to admit it themselves. It's usually not one giant step of rebellion that's led us to where we are, but it's a slowly unfolding process in which we took small steps that eventually led us to where we are. And that's why it's hard to be brutally honest about your circumstances, because in some ways they may have taken you by surprise. It's kind of like the frog in the pan of water on the stove. He doesn't sense any danger. And when the heat's turned up, the water temperature rises slowly, and by the time he knows he's in trouble, he can't get out of it. But brutal honesty about your circumstances in the distant country means admitting that you're in a pig pen. It's dirty, it's uncomfortable, and it's not at all what you thought this life would be. And the second part of brutal honesty is you got to be honest about what brought you there in the first place. This young man said, I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. That's brutal honesty. He recognized, I did it to myself. But I didn't just hurt myself. We talked about this the first week. He hurt his family, didn't he? He walked away from them. There's no denying, no lying, no blame shifting, no trying to pretend it was just an accident. There is only honesty, brutal honesty. I have sinned. When we find ourselves in the pig pen and are honest about the bleakness of our circumstances, the natural thing for us to do is to try to shed the blame. Oh, do we love to blame somebody else? When we get caught in a pig pen, our natural tendency is to try to find another reason for our circumstances besides our own selves in our own decisions and actions that brought us there. Maybe you blame your parents who were too controlling as you were growing up. Maybe you blame a husband who was too absent. Maybe you blame a wife who was too picky. Maybe you blame friends who were too influential. But the truth about what led you to the pig pen is this. I have sinned. I chose this, and I got to own it, and I got to deal with the consequences. And if you can't get to that kind of brutal honesty, then aha will not happen in your life. You need to take responsibility. The third part of brutal honesty is being honest about your consequences. This young man said, "I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." That was the speech he was working on for his dad. "Please take me on as a hired servant." He realized it was his fault. He was taking responsibility. There would be consequences, and he was willing to own it. This young man knows that he hadn't just hurt himself. He's hurt his father and his mother and his brother. Our sin's never private. It's never as personal as we'd like it to be. It always hurts more people than just you. While God forgives the guilt of our sin and the eternal punishment we deserve, that doesn't mean that there are no consequences when we sin. The son knows what he will face when he returns home: an offended and wounded father, a jealous and angry brother, indignant friends and neighbors who know exactly what he did. But when you have a sudden awakening in the distant country, you would rather face those consequences than the consequences you are currently facing in the pig pen. It's one of the most difficult ingredients of aha, being brutally honest with yourself. But aha can't happen unless brutal honesty happens. And I don't know what you might need to be honest about what's going on in your life today, but for most of us, it's probably time to look in the mirror and be brutally honest. It's not enough to just be suddenly awakened to the fact that you're in the distant country. You have to be willing to own it. You have to be brutally honest about where you are, what got you there, and what's going to happen from this point on. So I want to ask you to do something for me. I want to ask you to close your eyes for a minute. And I'm going to walk you through a time that I hope will be a time of maybe some honesty. I want to pose several questions, and I just want you to have a moment of brutal honesty between you and God. And during this time, ask the Lord to show you the places in your life where you may have left your father's house and may be wandering in the distant country. You might remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the distant land might not be a geographical location, but it might be a part of our lives that we have gone away from the heart of God. We may be living in the same place, talking the same talk, but our actions betray us. Now, we have a lot of different people here this morning from a lot of different walks from life. Some of these questions will apply directly to you, and if there's a question that doesn't, just prayerfully stay with me, because some of these will. But we have some people who are single, some who are married, we have some with children at home, others whose children are gone. And so just focus on the questions that apply to you. All right, so eyes closed, here we go. This is for people who are married. When was the last time you told your spouse that you love him or her? How long has it been since you went on a date with your spouse? How long has it been since you went above and beyond to show your spouse how much you care? When was the last time you apologized first? When was the last time you prayed for your spouse or with your spouse? When was the last time you prayed or read scripture together with your spouse? I ask those questions because, as you know, marriage is hard. And these questions require brutal honesty. Let's go to a different page. When was the last time you told your children that you loved them? When was the last time you sat down and played with your children? When was the last time you spent more time with your children than people at work? When was the last time you prayed for your children? When was the last time you prayed or read the Bible with them? New page. When was the last time you told your parents that you loved them? When was the last time you honored your parents by doing what they asked you to do the first time without grumbling or complaining? How long has it been since you treated your brother or sister with kindness or respect? When was the last time you prayed for your parents and family? Another page, and this will probably apply to everybody. When was the last time you thought about how someone else might feel because of your actions? Who was the last person who really got your undivided attention? How long has it been since you did something for someone anonymously? How long has it been since you gave up time to make a meal for someone or to help somebody move? When was the last time you lost track of time because you were serving someone else? How long has it been since you've stopped to think about how you want to be treated and then treated someone else that way? When was the last time you actually controlled your temper instead of losing it? How long has it been since you were patient with the server at a busy restaurant? When was the last time people thought you looked more like Jesus than yourself? Those questions require brutal honesty. My challenge for you today is that if maybe in one of these areas you've realized that you've walked away from the Father's house and found yourself in a distant country, apart from the Lord and His will, it's time to be brutally honest. Honest about your circumstances, honest about what brought you there, and about the consequences of your actions. Now, in some ways, I kind of hate to stop the story here, but I'm going to tease you to come back and hear what happens with the story next week. But one of the things that I think makes this one of the best loved parables of Jesus is because there are elements to each part of this story that most of us can identify with. I think that's why he taught with stories, so we can identify with different characters, so we can think about how we would feel, so we could think about how we would respond. So last week, as we considered what it means to have a sudden awakening, and I encouraged you to think about Psalm 84:10, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. This week, I hope some of the questions that I posed, particularly the ones that relate to you, will reverberate in your heart and mind this week, and that you will have some brutally honest conversations with God about your relationship with Him. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, it is so easy to point out problems and issues that other people are having in their walk with You, but that's not truly our responsibility. Our responsibility is to mind our own lives. But sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in what other people are doing, we neglect to be honest about our own life and our own heart and what we allow to fill it. And so, Father, as we embrace this parable and as we think about the need to be brutally honest, help us, Lord, during our quiet times this week to be brutally honest with You. And we pray that You, Holy Spirit, would help us to search our hearts and help us find if there's any ways in which we've walked away from the Father and His will, and help bring us back on track. Because next week, we're going to talk about taking immediate action. But we can't take that action till we've been awakened and until we've been honest. So Father, help us do those things in our own hearts this week. And we thank You, Lord, that most of us know the end of the story, that the prodigal son comes home. And we know that he was unsure what would happen when he got there, and that's the whole reason Jesus told the story. Not only was the father waiting with arms wide open, he came running to meet his lost son that had returned. So help us, Father, in whatever ways we need to come running back to You, knowing that we will be welcomed into the arms of a loving Father who's glad we've come home. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song.